Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to take our text from Genesis chapter 22. We'll be reading through verse 18. 1 through 18, Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? He said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We have a very unusual happening here. Some of the critics of the Bible have tried to say that the Bible is a violent book, Bible is an unreasonable book because God made this request of Abraham. But we who understand God and His workings realize that God never really intended for Abraham to go through with this. He was simply proving his faith and his dedication. It says it came to pass after these things in verse 1 that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he, God, said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of. I'm sure that even though Abraham was a devoted man of God, he trusted God completely. Hebrew writer says that Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him again from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. But I'm sure that an arrow pierced through the heart of Abraham when God gave him such a command as this. Take thy son and offer him for a burnt offering. Not only did he say take thy son, but he said take thine only son. We know that Isaac was not, strictly speaking, the only son of Abraham, because Ishmael had been born earlier of Abraham by Hagar, the handmaiden. But yet, in a sense, Isaac was his only son, the only son of he and Sarah. And the same thing can be said about God's only son. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A great objection was raised when the NIV translation first came out, because it said God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. And many people objected, saying, oh, Jesus was not God's one and only son. We're all children of God as Christians. He's God's only begotten son. But yet James 1:18 speaks of all of us as Christians of being begotten of God of his own will. Begat he us, James wrote, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So it's really the same thing. God said, take Isaac thine only son, and God gave his only son. That was Abraham's only son in one respect, and Jesus was God's only son in one respect. But that's only a sidebar. Getting back to the text, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. When God said, take him an offering for a burnt offering, Abraham knew well how to offer an animal as a burnt offering. He knew that you took the knife, you slice the throat of the animal, out gushes the blood from the main artery, the animal dies, and then you burn it on the wood. And the smell, partly of burned flesh, partly of cooked flesh. And it must have been a dart through the heart of Abraham when he thought of the very idea of doing that to his only son, whom he loved, God said. There was no doubt that Abraham loved him. It's hard for us to imagine a father being tried. No wonder it said that Abraham was tried or tested, or tempted, as the King James Version puts it, by this command. Offer him as a burnt offering, God said, upon the altar. Imagine the horror that went through Abraham's heart when he thought of having to smell the charred body of his son being seared on that altar with the flames, of having to take that knife and pierce it into his son and take his life. God said, do it. And Abraham said, I'm going to do it. Abraham knew what was implied when God said, offer him. Offer him for a burnt offering. You know, it's mind-boggling, the feelings of horror that must have torn through Abraham as he contemplated doing this. But then verse 3 says, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He didn't hesitate. No wonder he got up early the next morning and went. I have a feeling he didn't get much sleep that night. The thing turning over and over in his mind of what he was about to do. He rose early in the morning, the Bible says, and he took two of his young men with him, two servants with him, household servants. He took Isaac his son and he clave the wood, he split the wood and got it ready for the burnt offering. And he tied everything on his donkey, got loaded up, proceeded to go. Verse 4 says that it was the third day when they got there. It was quite a ways off. Took them 3 days to get there to the mountain that God told them of. And what a weary journey this must have been for Abraham. As he had time to contemplate over and over and over again in his mind and relive in his mind again and again the knife piercing his son, the flames burning his body, and look at the wood that would cook him. What a horror that must have been. 3 days on the way. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Kind of strange that he had the faith to believe that the child would come back with him, as he doesn't expressly state, but as he implies, we will go worship and come again to you. But you don't come. You don't need to see this grueling thing. You stay by the donkey. We'll walk the rest of the way. And then verse 5, it says the two went to worship. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. You know, when God tells us a little bit about his plans, we always try to figure out the rest of it. That's human nature. And I don't discourage it when God tells us about what's going to happen when Christ comes again and the judgment and all these things. We try to figure out what's between the lines and fill it in our minds. And a lot of times we probably don't get it right. But Abraham tried to figure it out, and he had it figured out that he would go through with this thing. He knew that God had said that in Isaac your seed will be called. Isaac had to have children. Isaac had to have descendants. Now God says go offering for a burnt offering. Abraham said, well, let's see what's going to happen. I'm going to go take my son and take the knife and slay him and put him on the wood that's burning and offer him for a burnt offering, and God's going to bring him back some way or another. We wonder why Hebrews 11 and 19 says, or 17 says, that by faith Abraham offered up Isaac. And we read the story in Genesis 22 and we see that he never completed the sacrifice. But in his mind he did. Oh, in his mind, how many times he did, over and over. What a horrible thing for a parent to go through. And, you know, Abraham said God will bring him back from the dead. From whence he received him in a figure. Some people, some commentators and Bible students think that this means that Abraham or that Isaac was as good as dead, and by sending the angel to stay his hand as he was about to pierce the knife into his son, that he, in a sense, brought him back from the dead because he was as good as dead. Others think that it was the way Abraham begat Isaac through Sarah, and the Bible says that she was almost 100 years old and her body as good as dead. And that it was the way that Isaac was brought into this world. But in either respect, it was a miracle. And Abraham received him back from the dead in a figure. And you know, I believe that prefigures the resurrection of Jesus. Abraham believed that God could bring someone back from the dead. And when God gave his only begotten son, he didn't stop it before it was finished. Jesus said he could have. Jesus said, I could just ask my Father, I could just say the word, and he would immediately give me more than 12 legions of angels and rescue me and stop this thing. Deliver me from the hands of the Jews. But he said, that's not the will of God. But Abraham believed that God could bring someone back from the dead. And God did bring someone back from the dead when he raised Christ. Verse 6 also tells us that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together up the mountain. Remember, he left the two young men that were servants to keep the donkey till they went and worshiped. And they walked up the mountain. Abraham had the censer, the fire pot with the fire in it, the coals that he kept alive from the time they started out. And he had the knife, the big dagger knife that would slay his son. And so he bound the wood up in a bundle. It had to be a big bundle of wood to be enough to burn a body. And it's interesting to see that he laid it upon Isaac his son to carry up the mountain. And what does that make you think of? What does that prefigure? Jesus bearing his cross up Golgotha's hill. The Bible says that he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, John 19:17. How accurately Isaac bearing the wood of his sacrifice up the mountain depicts Jesus bearing the cross of his crucifixion up Golgotha's hill. And Abraham has the knife in his hand. The knife that he has seen in his mind's eye time and time again, taking the life of his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves. What a heart-rending picture. And then to top it off, verses 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father, and his father said, Here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac had seen his father offer a lamb as a burnt offering before. Can you imagine this young man saying to his father, Daddy, yes, son, I see the wood. I got the wood for the offering, and you got the knife and the fire and everything, but where are we going to get a lamb, Daddy? Don't you know another arrow went through the heart of Abraham? Somebody said, well, Abraham knew that God was going to provide a ram. No. God just enabled him to say that. He didn't know that. Hebrews 11:17 says he thought God was going to let him offer Isaac and God was going to bring him back from the dead. So Abraham was saying, God will provide a lamb. You are the lamb, boy. I can't tell you that, but you are the lamb, so God will provide a lamb. And how reminiscent is that of the saying of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus walking on the shores of Galilee and he came in sight and John said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. Daddy, where's the lamb? Son, you're the lamb, but I can't tell you that. God will provide a lamb. And it says in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, probably from stones, a place to put the wood, and a little fireplace, as it were, to put the wood and offer the offering. Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order. Got to lay it out right where the arrow circulated right, make a good hot fire. When Abraham knew what was going to be on that fire. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He hadn't lit the fire yet. But he took a rope and he tied his son up. A young lad, somebody guessed that he was about 13 years old. He's not going to volunteer to get on the wood and be the offering, is he? You got to tie him up. You got to take a rope and bind him. What are you doing, Daddy? What are you doing? You lost your mind? But he goes on and ties up his son with a rope. Oh, what a picture. Surely Isaac has figured out by now that he is the lamb. And what's going to take place? Verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. What feelings must have run through Abraham's mind as he began to enact what he'd seen in his mind's eye time and time again over this 3 days' journey? And he knew what he was going to do with that knife. He was going to pierce it into his son, either into his heart or into his neck, and sever the artery, and the blood of his son would gush out, and he could already see it in his mind's eye. The screams, the blood. What a horrible picture. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It was good as done. Then verses 11 and 12, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, twice. He's got to get his attention quick. And he said, here am I. And he, the angel, said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Then Abraham looked behind him, probably heard something rustling, looked behind him. There was a ram caught by his horns in a thicket of bushes. It was as if God were saying, there's the offering, go get it. He went and got it. He offered the ram. Verse 13 says, in the stead of his son, in place of his son. Imagine the young man Isaac was glad, don't you? And oh, how relieved Abraham must have been. Why all this ordeal? Why bring Abraham to the brink of doing such a horrible thing? Because God knew that he would do just what he had asked Abraham to do. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Abraham saw Isaac's resistance as he tied him with the rope. He saw his, heard his queries as to where is the lamb. God had to hear his son pray and beg, my father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As the great drops of sweat, as it were, blood rolled from his brow. He had to see. God had to see the nails pierce his son. He had to see him spit upon his son and mock him and revile him. And had to hear him cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to go through that with his beloved son. Luke 22:39-44, and he came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He left the servants with the donkey, didn't he? And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And there God the Father was looking upon that, and his heart rending, knowing that many people were not going to appreciate what he was doing, that many people would spurn the offering that Jesus made for their salvation. They wouldn't appreciate it. They would mock at the gospel being preached. They would spurn the great invitation. But then when God looked upon his only son going through that torture, being mocked and scourged and ridiculed and spat upon and ultimately crucified, and God knew that for by and large the most part of people wouldn't appreciate it and wouldn't care for it, God could know there was one man. There was one of these human creatures that loved me enough to do for me what I'm about to do for lost mankind. And don't you know that meant a lot to God? Don't you know it meant a lot to God to think there was one man who loved me enough to go through what I'm going through for me? One of these lowly creatures was willing to give his son for me. We know the gospel story. And we know that God did for Jesus what Abraham was expecting him to do for Isaac. He brought him back from the dead after he'd suffered. And don't you appreciate the fact that Abraham was willing to give his only son? Some translations put it, and indeed the word only can be translated properly, darling. Take thy son, thy darling son, Isaac. God offered his darling son. But he had seen one human, one outstanding specimen of the human race who loved him enough to give his son. So what will our reaction be? Will we appreciate what God did for us enough to take advantage of it and live for him? I'm hoping we all will. If there's one that's not in the family of God today, Jesus died and he suffered, and God looked upon his son in agony so that you might have that opportunity. If you're not a Christian, won't you become one today by placing your faith in him, repenting of your sin, confessing that faith, being buried with your Lord in baptism? As a Christian, if you've wandered away, won't you come back and rededicate your life to the Lord? If you're subject, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?
All to Jesus.